So you're probably my favourite guest to have on. Every time I've had you on the show, I had you on Winners Wednesday. You've done some stuff and people always say, have Amanda back on the show. So what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Oh my gosh. Life with the kids. I've been going on training courses for personal development for myself. And I've also been getting more involved with the big development stuff now with Ben Michekanyanga. So
that's cool.
Lots of exciting stuff going on.
Honestly think, I mean, people say this to me all the time. They genuinely say that I'm just the luckiest person to have you as a wife. So what's it like, number one, being married to me? Because obviously that's like a full-time thing in and of itself.
Yeah.
Number two, being a mom. And number three, working hard, because you do a lot on the property side, on the development, and not only on the big development side, but also just managing and overseeing some of our residential side as well.
Yeah.
So what's that like, and how do you manage everything and the time and stuff like that?
What's it like? Oh my gosh, it's exciting and busy.
And you have a YouTube channel.
Yes, and I have a YouTube channel.
So crazy.
Amanda Leeds on
Little
YouTube.
Plug.
Yeah. So it's all exciting, busy. I think I sort of have to be a bit attentive to you. So whenever you're home, I try to make sure that I'm not busy with other things, because you're really, really busy. So
what do you mean attentive to me? As in like give words of affection? What do you mean?
give you my all when you're home, because you're always like, when you're out, you're on the go, you're busy. And then when you get home, the last thing you want, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm just filming my YouTube channel,
that's
my
so
YouTube
true.
Videos and stuff.
Like when I get
when
back,
you get home,
you are free.
Yeah, I'm free for you.
You drop stuff.
Yeah, so I manage my time by just making sure that I just kind of get up to whatever I want to do in the day or whatever.
What's your favorite thing to focus on out of all the different things you do? What's the most exciting?
Ooh, most exciting. I love my me time. I love reading.
You love being on your own as well.
I love being on my own.
Because you're an extroverted introvert, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of if we're going to a party, you're the life and soul of the party.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I fell in love with you was because you're just so out there. I remember that video with you and the girls in Barcelona where you were literally dancing on the train to Beyonce, like doing a full-on dancing. And I could just see there's loads of people on the train, and I thought, that girl doesn't care what anybody thinks.
No, which is a
great trait. But then also you love being on your own.
Yeah, I love
having you time. And sometimes in the house, do you remember who was it that came around our house and they were like, you guys are such a quiet family?
I know.
Was that your mom?
Yeah, it was my mom actually. It was one weekend my mom came.
We'd not been married that long.
No.
I don't even know if we had kids. I think maybe we just had Ruby, I'm not sure.
Yeah, we didn't have kids.
But we sometimes we don't even talk that much.
Yeah, we'll be in the same room, but just
you'll
quiet.
Be reading a book over here, I'll be reading a book over there.
Yeah.
Or you'll be just doing a bit of housework and I'll just be quietly on my laptop. We're in the same room, we might not talk for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But then other times we just stay up till 3 a.m. and we're like
talking,
going crazy chatting. We've got people over, the house is full. It's like this morning, I had my personal trainer here, Amelia's
been here.
It's
been a busy one.
We've had obviously
a
video team here. Yeah. We've got people, like it's a madhouse. And we bring people over all the time. We have guests over the house. It's kind of like a madhouse. But what would you say the thing that you really enjoy the most is?
I just said.
Oh, did you just say? Did I ask you again?
Yeah.
I was just in a trance.
I just said I love spending time by myself, because it can be quite busy, I think, around the house and stuff. And then obviously spending time with you. I love when we go away on our holidays.
And we go out all the time.
Yeah.
And people say to me as well sometimes, you know, how do you find time to be with Amanda? We spend a lot of time together.
Oh, we do.
Like
we
a
do.
Lot of time together.
Yeah.
I probably spend more time with you than anybody, I would say.
I'd agree.
Here's the thing. With other people, it goes through seasons. So I go through a season of seeing Russell loads.
Mm.
I go through a season of seeing Amelia loads. I go through a season of seeing whoever. But with you, it's just consistent.
Yeah.
So over a month period, I might see Russell more. But then if you look over a year period, it's always...
I know, because some people ask me like, oh, Samuel's always so busy. Oh, you need to tell Samuel to slow down. And I think people's perception is that you're hardly ever really home and you're like always busy working and stuff. But you are quite a family man. And I think a lot of people, I mean, they know that you are, but I don't think they truly quite believe. Like you do spend like lots of time at home and with me. So you are a family man and you are around a lot.
I'm around a lot. And sometimes if I'm tired, if I'm like, if it's like late in the evening, I think, I don't really fancy going to the office tomorrow, I just won't go.
Yeah. And then we just have a family day.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Right, we did
going
that
to
the
farm.
Other
day. Yeah.
I was just like, I don't fancy going to the office. We ended up going to the farm having a family day. But I don't have that feeling very often.
No, because you do love what you do. You love. I think you buzz off being in the office and being with your clients and stuff. So, you can't live without that.
Tell me, because we've not even caught up properly. How did you get on in the castle yesterday?
Castle was good. So I went to the castle yesterday and checking on progress. And I've decided I'm going to go every month now, whenever Ben's there doing a site meeting. And it had progressed in some ways. But then also, I think because it's kind of been stripped back, there's lots of work to be done. So,
you can almost see the work now.
Yeah, I can see
before,
the work. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that long ago when you couldn't even get inside.
Yeah, I know. It was like all overgrown, cobwebs. It was like a bit gross, dingy and dark. Yeah. Now it's like really light. You've got one half of it, which is just like literally you could just refurb it and it'd be done, good to go. And then one side is really, really damaged. And I think that's where the roof had like needed repairs and stuff. So it's completely stripped back at the moment.
Because I think what people don't understand is that like the painting and decorating, that and the interiors, that's the easy part. When you start decorating it and putting the bathrooms and the new, that means we're going to be done in a few months.
Yeah.
The stuff that takes time is all the other stuff, like dealing with all the licensing, the conservation officers.
There's so much to consider.
The bats.
Yeah, the bats. So at the moment, they've got the roofs off. And they're doing, there's lots of like rotten timbers and stuff in the roof, so they're having to replace all of that. But once that's all replaced, they have to have it ready by, I think, April, so that the bats can be rehoused, and they have to build some bat houses and stuff because the protected species.
Do you think we'll do that in time?
Yeah, I think so.
We're all good.
Yeah. Ben's on it, so.
Yeah, well, you're both on it. Yeah. It's really interesting because for me as well, like for me, when I bought the castle, that was me stretching out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you see me all the time. It's a wow, big project. But for you, actually, professionally, the castle's a small project.
Yeah. Professionally, I've seen worse. I've seen bigger, and
You've had clients like you worked for Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
What did you tell me about that?
Coca-Cola, just like one of their factories needed refurb, so it's massive. So it was just like one section where I had to do a cost plan for how much the works were going to cost. Mm. So measure everything. And then see how much, give them an idea of how much it's going to cost to do the works.
Yeah.
And then once that was done, we had to send out the tenders, the work for tender. So you have different contractors, like 3 or 4 contractors that will cost the works. So they will provide an estimate of how much it's going to cost. And then I had to produce a cost report, a tender report for reporting back to the client, Coca-Cola, how much it was, you know, how much everyone quoted. And then based on what I provide them, then they make the decision on which contractor they're going to choose to do the works. And then going forward after that, contract, then post contract, it's managing the contractor doing the works and making sure that they're staying within the contract sum that was agreed and stuff.
We'll be driving around Leeds or whatever, and you'll be like, I worked on that project.
Yeah, that's what I love about property. And I was saying to the builder yesterday at the castle, I was like, oh my gosh, forever you're going to be able to say you worked on restoring this building and making it, you know, amazing again. And I love that. I love being able to be like, oh my gosh, I costed that, or I worked on that. And it's cool.
How do you feel? You had some right nightmares with managing tenants last year.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
To the point where you were just like, you know what, Samuel?
I had it up to here.
Yeah.
Because we have some lovely tenants, but I think with this one, it was a HMO, and I kind of thought, oh, I'll just deal with it. Because at the time I was just like, oh, I hadn't been in property. I'd sort of like, since having kids, I'd sort of stepped back a bit, and I thought, oh, I'll just deal with the tenants. I know the tenants. Cool. Fine. And it was just before we went to Uganda, I had a bit of a nightmare with suppliers. So the person that was going to be doing the recarpeting the house and stuff. And
it's really funny, because it's so funny when I hear like tenants complaining to the management companies about how awful you are.
I know. And they're like, I'm like,
And they're what? Like, Amanda's terrible.
Yeah, she's... I'm the nicest person ever. I feel like I'm the nicest person to deal with and I'm so reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for someone to like say that, I'm like, okay.
And you're not like a hothead or no. harsh. You're very sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when I see the tenants complaining about you to the management companies,
oh, no.
Yeah, Amanda, she's a bitch. It's just like, and the funniest is when people don't know that you're my wife.
Yeah.
And then they'll send me a message or something. And this has happened.
Yeah.
Where they're like, Amanda, oh, you need to. And it's like, they have no idea.
Yeah, no idea. And they're just venting to you and it's like, okay.
Yeah, that you're my wife. But it's crazy though. And I think I posted on Facebook the other day that if you have enough tenants, you need to expect at some point you're going to be the bad guy in someone's story.
Yeah, totally. It's,
you just know that some of these tenants are going to be there and their family are going to be around. Yeah. You know, and they're going to be going, and then, you know, and then Amanda did this and the family are going to say, oh, terrible.
Yeah.
Like their version of events.
Yeah.
You're going to be the bad guy at some point.
I know, yeah. And I think that experience, it made me realise that I definitely didn't want to personally deal with tenants anymore. I was just like, I've done it a lot. I've got so much experience doing it. But I think now, because of like being a mom and stuff, initially I thought, oh, when I was pregnant, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be a stay-at-home mom full-time. And I was glad that I had the option to do that. And I've done that now for 2 years and it's amazing. But now I'm thinking like, oh, but you know, there's more to me than just being a mom.
Yeah.
And I love property. So I've thought, okay, well, I want to get involved in property. I now know that I don't want to have to like the nitty gritty dealing with tenants and stuff. And I think now with the property development side of things, that's really good because it gives me the freedom to still do property, but also the flexibility. I can work around the kids. Like, I've got, so yesterday I was at the castle. In the week I have like play group with the kids, swimming with the kids and stuff. But with like the property development side, because it's sort of like you can have a project and it's ongoing, you just sort of, I can go to site whenever I want, dip in and out and just, you know, be on the phone with people. So I think
it's almost like you are working alongside Ben.
Yeah.
So from Ben's position, it's full on.
Yeah.
And for anyone who doesn't know Ben's the property director and he's your brother.
Yeah.
But he's got 16 years in the industry. He's chartered surveyor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's great. So I've taken him on to partner with some of the deals and he's doing a great job. But do you feel like you're in a fortunate situation really though? Because you've got the luxury of being able to work on the sites and stuff, but then you haven't got the full weight of responsibility for it to all be on your head.
Yeah.
You're almost, I wouldn't say Ben's assistant because that might be almost a little bit of a diss on you because you're doing high level stuff, but you're almost taking the workload.
I've got the best of both worlds, which is really cool. Like yesterday we went to the castle with Ben, but all on the journey there and on the journey back, we were like looking for sites and appraising properties and stuff. So I was just there working whilst he was driving and it was just cool.
Would you describe yourself as a powerful person?
Yeah, I think so. And I think some people sometimes ask me sometimes and it always seems like they pity me a bit and they're like, oh, so Samuel's got, you know, what he does and the training business and that, you know, he's into property and stuff. And, you know, do you want to do something for you? And I'm like, almost as if like, oh, it's all about Samuel. And I'm just like the little submissive wife that just goes on with what you do. But I don't think so. I think there's a lot of power in being a supportive wife and supporting you in what you do. And I think it just because I'm like a supportive wife, because I think our roles are quite traditional in that you go out, you work, you bring in a lot of money, and I'm at home, my main responsibilities and then what I want is looking after the home and looking after the kids. But I think being so supportive for you, I think I'm a great asset to you, because if I gave you hell, you wouldn't be able to be so focused on,
or even if you gave me
what
nothing
you do. Yeah, yeah.
If you gave me nothing,
yeah,
I wouldn't have half the business.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because not only do you not make my life difficult, but also, and make my life easy, but also help on the, like, I think it's, for me, it's massive.
Yeah.
And I don't know many successful people that have built large businesses where they haven't had powerful people around them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say I'm powerful.
Yeah, I think you're powerful. I think you're a powerful person, and I think that you're a strong person. I love doing business with you. And I love doing life with you. And we also go on holiday a lot. We go two exotic holidays at least, sometimes three, four.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're going away four times this year.
Yeah.
To somewhere beautiful. Where are we going next? Or where are you most excited about?
Oh, well, we're going to do a little break in Paris. But
that's not
proper. I know.
But Barbados.
Israel,
Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Zimbabwe would be good.
Yeah, good. See your family and stuff.
You are born and bred in Zimbabwe.
I know some people like don't realize, maybe I don't put it out there enough, that I'm Zimbabwean.
Is it true?
Yeah, I did a Q&A on my Instagram recently, and someone said like, "Is it true that you're from Zimbabwe?" And I was like, "Yeah. Born and bred. I was born in Zimbabwe, moved to England when I was 10 years old. So I've spent, well, it's less than half my life now. But yeah, I've spent a lot of my life.
Yeah, you're 27.
I'm Zimbabwean. Yeah.
And you've got British citizenship now.
Yeah.
Which was on your to-do list for a long
time. Yeah, it was on my to-do list. It's actually coming up to two-year anniversary since I became British. Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
So fast. Yeah. What about that time when you thought that I thought that you wanted to marry me to become British?
I know. Oh my gosh, that was so awkward. it was so awkward because I was Zimbabwean. I had an indefinite right to stay in the UK, so I could live here forever.
Yeah.
I just had a Zimbabwean passport, and you asked me to go to Ireland,
Dublin, Southern Ireland.
Yeah, Southern Ireland. So obviously, Northern Ireland is part of the UK. So
because we hadn't been dating that long.
No, we hadn't been dating that long. And so to go to Southern Ireland, I'd need a visa because it's not part of the UK. That's like the con with a Zimbabwean passport. You need a visa to go anywhere. So I was like, oh, so you said, oh, let's go to Ireland. And I was like, oh, and I thought, and it was on text message, and I thought, oh, I probably have to tell him now. So I sent you like a long essay that took me forever to like write up explaining why it was like, oh, I'd need to get a visa. And I didn't think you'd even understand it. I was just like, oh my gosh. And what did you say? You said to me, I sent you the message, and then I thought you would just be like,
I think I took a long time to respond.
Yeah, you did.
And you thought that it was like an issue.
Yeah.
But I'm well traveled and I get it.
Yeah. So I thought that you'd just think, oh my gosh, so, ooh, maybe she wants to be with me because she wants to get, she wants to get a stay in the UK or something.
One of the biggest accusations, what about when people say that, the only reason, Samuel, you're with such a beautiful, hot, intelligent, attractive woman is because of your money.
I know. Please do not offend me, people, with like comments like that. It's people that like say, must be with him for the money. Like, nah. That is just so not the case.
Well, firstly, I didn't tell you about the money.
Yeah.
When we started dating, and we didn't have any mutual friends. And yeah. I just finished 3 years at Bible college.
Yeah.
At the time, and I was focusing heavily on the charity, on the Training Kings, which was a non-profit.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even out there
as
a wealthy person.
No.
I didn't tell you.
No.
Secondly, I didn't have anywhere near the wealth that I have now. We've been married now 5 years. Over 5 years when we had when we had the African wedding.
Mm.
So when we met, I was 23.
Yeah.
And yes, I was financially free, and yes, I was doing all right. I wasn't even a millionaire then.
Mm.
I became a millionaire at 25 thanks to you.
Oh.
Like now multi-millionaire again thanks to you. So it's just like, yeah, people, I think people just love to say things like that because it if it helps them.
I know, it makes them feel better.
Married me for the money. if that helps them, then let them have. But it's obviously not. I told you that I was in debt. That was when I told you.
Yeah,
about.
You did. Yeah,
I tried to scare you off by telling you how much debt I've got, and you were like, "It's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get an extra job, get some extra hours."
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's just ridiculous.
When people say some comments, I just think they just obviously don't know us at all. Because anyone that knows us just knows what we're like and stuff. And
So what's next then? What's the plan for you? What are you going to really focus on this year?
This year, I want to focus on building my brand as Amanda Leeds. I think I want to inspire lots of ladies out there.
Yeah, because maybe there's some people as well, like females, moms, that probably couldn't quite relate to me. But then you know the same stuff. You know just as much about property as I know about property.
Yeah.
Like, you've got the knowledge. You've built the business with me to a large extent. Mm. So I think it's great what you're doing on YouTube.
Thank you.
You share in such a different way. Like, I'll be like, the three steps to get wherever's you, you're just like, hey, come here. You just like take them round, and then Ruby's like, there in the background. It's like such a different vibe
that
you give off. But I think that's great. Why do you want to inspire people to moms and women to do property?
Because I think I've seen what you do, and like when we go to like the winners dinners, all with academy members, and I see so many people that are like, oh my gosh, I'm financially free because came to training and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So many people's lives have been changed. And I think for some people, like, they might think, oh my gosh, I'm not really in a position where I can do that, like, as a female. And yeah, they might not relate to you, but I think if I can just inspire. So that's why I think doing my YouTube videos, which is just like kind of vlog style, come with me, kind of see what I do, see what, you know, see what happens. I think it's just a different way of sharing. And I think some people might, I don't know, respond to that more.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's just the same mission of just helping people, which I'm passionate about, giving the people to the freedom to live the lives that they want, as well as having the flexibility of, you know, doing whatever they choose with their time.
I mean, do you think you have to do property full time, or do you think you can get started part time?
I think you can do it part time. I don't think you have to be full on. No. I mean, there's people. I mean, there was the lady on your Winners on a Wednesday who's got a 9-to-5 job and she's earning what, $3,000 a month?
Yeah, which
I
one?
Can't remember her
Stella.
Name. Yeah, Stella. Yeah. So
just last week.
So there's people that are working, you know, full time and still able to do property. So I think if you've got the knowledge, you can totally do it, no matter what position you're in, I believe, anyway.
What's the
if
best,
you apply yourself.
What's the best thing about being a mom?
Best thing about being a mom? Oh, my gosh. The cuddles. Like, Ruby does this random thing now where she'll just come up to me and she'll just cuddle me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Just thinking of it makes me emotional. Oh, my gosh. I love my kids.
You, give me your hands.
Have you ever had anyone cry in your podcast?
No, I don't think so, but
oh
you know, give me your other hand.
My kids are everything to me.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Is that okay, that's the best thing. It's okay, breathe.
Oh my goodness, it's so embarrassing.
Do you know what's funny though? Honestly, your son has been there, we'll be in bed together, and I'll be on my phone on Facebook, and you'll be on your phone, and you'll go quiet, and I'm like, you're right. And I look over, and it'll be a picture of like me and Ruby or something, or me and Luke,
and I'm
or
like,
whatever.
Oh my goodness.
And then you just go, and I look over, and then you just start crying with overwhelming joy.
Yeah, I think it just brings me so much joy being a mom. And I think, yeah, that's why I just think like being a mom is awesome, but I want to inspire them in other ways. And just like, I want them to look at me and be like, oh my gosh, my mom's so amazing. Like, you know, she was raising me, but she was also doing all of this. And like, oh my gosh, you know, like when I was little, my mom was working on that project, you know, like thing, you know. So yeah, I just want to inspire them. And yeah, being a mom is amazing.
I think you're like the best role model to the kids. I'm not only overwhelmed with joy that you're my wife, but I'm also overwhelmed with joy that you're the mother to our kids.
Thank you.
Because you're just such a great example, because you're hardworking, you're smart, you're loving. I mean, you're just awesome and a lot of fun. Because we are, in some instances, you say family tradition and stuff, but we also like to party and stuff a little bit.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we go a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Thought a minute. I want to get a tissue.
So we're back on air now with my softy emotional wife.
Don't ask me about kids.
That needed to take 20 seconds to just clean
my
up her
gosh,
tears.
That's so crazy.
Why do you get so emotional about the kids?
I don't know. I think it's just because I love them so much. They bring me so much joy.
Yeah.
It's just like insane how, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. They're my soft spot, I guess.
Yeah. Do you reckon?
They make me melt.
could you imagine life without kids?
No, I couldn't. I really couldn't. And I think, yeah, it's weird because we both wanted kids.
Yeah.
But I think even if we were just together and it was just me and you, I'd love life and it'd be amazing. But I think just having the kids is just...
Are you a happy person?
Yeah.
Are you happy right now?
Yes. I'm so happy with life. You know, I think, you know, you can choose to be happy. Well, to a certain extent, you can choose to be happy. And you create your own life. And I feel like the way that I live my life, my ultimate goal in life, you know this, is to be happy. Like, I'm not bothered about other things. Like, as long as I'm happy, That's what matters to me. So I make sure that I live my life and do things that make me happy.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I've learned from you a lot is just enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
Because as an entrepreneur and as a business leader, you're always looking forward, looking to the future. You're planning,
yeah,
making it happen. What happened? Mm. The goal. But actually sometimes just remembering that right now.
Yeah.
Because the future doesn't exist and the past doesn't exist. Mm. In one sense.
Yeah.
The only thing that exists is right now. Yeah. In this moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll often just take walks and be at the park. And I think just being in the moment. And although I'm not at home, well, I'm at home quite a bit, but like I travel a lot. I'm out a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like when I'm at home, I'm at home.
Yeah.
You know, and same with you. When we're talking, even right now. You know, it's just straight on in the present.
Yeah.
Is that something you can learn?
Is that something that I could...
You can learn. Can you learn to be in the present?
Oh, right.
You've been on courses about this.
Yes, I've been on courses about... I've attended one of T. Harv Eker's programs. It was called Wizard Camp, training camp, and it was in Spain, in... I can't remember the name of the place, but it's like...
What did they teach you?
They taught us about being present, being in the moment.
Should I go on the course?
I think you could learn. You could learn, you know, a bit.
Oh, that's the subtle way of saying get your ass
getting
down.
On it. Yeah, I think there's a few things that you could learn. It was interesting being there. It was a week of just being sort of quieting your mind, being present in the moment, and and it was really good. And it teaches you.
How much did it cost?
I think it was like 5 grand.
5,000.
Yeah.
And then you go on a lot of, you pay a lot of money to go on courses.
Yeah.
Not as much as me.
Yeah, not as much as you.
I pay a lot of money to go on courses.
Yeah.
You went as well? You went on T. Harv Eker's other course called...
Yeah, Warrior Training Camp.
Warrior Training Camp?
Yeah.
Enlightened Warrior Training Camp.
Yeah, Enlightened Warrior Training Camp. Yes. That was amazing. I think I've just learnt so much. I've just constantly...
How much was that course?
Probably the same, about
5,000.
Yeah.
What was the biggest thing you took from Warrior Camp?
Biggest thing I took was that you don't have to live to please anyone. If you want to say no to something, just say no. You don't have to give a reason, you know, and be true to yourself.
Also, if someone says, oh, do you want to meet up for coffee tomorrow or next week? Rather than saying, oh, I'm busy. No, you're not busy. You just don't want to.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, just say I'll skip, thanks.
Yeah.
You don't have to give a reason.
And also the other biggest thing that I learned from there was about eliminating the word try. So never saying that, oh, I'll try do this, I'll try do that. No, it's not try. You either choose to or you either choose not to. There's no try. So
love that.
I think, so that was a really big takeaway.
And if people say, even me, if I'm like, oh, I should really, what do you say?
Yeah, should. You shouldn't say the word should.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
You should not say the word should. Is that not a contradiction?
Oh, goodness. Ah. You got me. Yeah.
You say, I do not say the word should.
Yeah, I do not say the word should. And why? If I do, I go, oh.
Why?
Because should, they said, they were like saying like should is like a word that you use to sort of beat yourself. So like if you're like, oh, I should have eaten a bit better there. I should have exercised more.
Or
I
should do this.
Yeah,
we just
do
it then.
Yeah, just do it. Because you sort of like, you just see beating yourself up over something that you haven't done. Well, just do it. And then don't think about, you know, why you should have done it or whatever. Just do it. Or don't do it, but don't moan about
it. Have you enjoyed going on my training programs?
Yeah, I have. Love it.
You've been on a lot of them.
I have, yeah. And I went on a refresher of the DFE.
Deal Finding Extravaganza.
Yeah.
What's it like being trained by me? So me being on stage or whatever and training, and you're my wife. Like, how's that work?
I don't know. I love it. I've always enjoyed it because I love how you simplify things. And that was like one of the things. I remember when I attended one of your earlier training courses, the crash course. And I'd heard of property investing, but I'd never even thought it was something that was accessible to me. I just thought, oh yeah, people do that, rich people do that, and oh cool, you know. But actually going to your course, I remember leaving and thinking, oh my gosh, like I can actually do this. It was just so simplified. So learning from you was just like good, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So it's not just like boring and you just sat there and it's a PowerPoint and it's just like, kill me now. It was just really, really good.
Does money bring happiness?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it brings happiness, but I'm trying to think of a grant. I saw a post that Grant Cardone did the other day and it said something like, money can't buy happiness, but I can't remember.
Poverty can't buy anything.
Yeah, that was it. And I just thought, yeah, that's so true. So I don't think money can buy happiness, because I think I'd be happy with or without, but I think it helps a lot.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you happy, but it helps with it.
Yeah.
It helps with it. Totally. I mean, what's it like? I'm not being funny now. People will probably get hate for saying this, but you know I get a lot of hate anyway.
Yes.
You think it's just?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think it's just, it annoys me.
But you don't read it.
No, I do not.
With it? How do you deal with me being so in the spotlight?
I don't read any of the negative stuff. I don't pay any attention to stuff like that. You know the saying, where energy goes, energy flows?
Yeah.
Is that the saying?
And where focus goes, energy flows.
Yeah, where focus goes. And I don't focus I think focusing on like negative stuff, I just think people that love to be negative about you or anyone else, I think it says a lot more about them. They obviously, you trigger something in them that makes them feel inferior for whatever reason. And, you know, they're just like projecting their bad feelings onto you.
Mm.
There's a saying, you'll never be great by tearing someone else down, or you'll never be great by making someone else small, something like that. And I just think people trying to make themselves big by tearing someone else down, it's just an awful mentality and an awful way to operate. Mm. I just think it's just ridiculous. So how do I deal with it? I just don't focus my time
on it. You just don't deal with it. Let them deal with their own issues.
Yeah.
Someone said to me recently, how do you deal with jealous people? I said, I don't deal with them.
They can deal with their own stuff. Like, I don't want anything to do with those people.
I just run.
Yeah.
They're losers.
Yeah, proper losers. So yeah.
Complete, utter losers. So I'll ask you the question now. If you're a loser,
mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to whoever's listening. If you're a loser, if you are a hater, then tune out now.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask Amanda, what's it like not having to ever look at the price tag to anything? Because I know that's how we live our life. I'm not being funny.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. But, you know, we went out for a dinner. Was it last night or the night before?
Yeah.
Nice dinner, three courses, had lots of friends and stuff. But,
yeah.
And I said to you, what was the bill? And you're like, oh, I don't know.
I was like, I didn't look. I just paid.
But the thing is, that's the top 1%.
Yeah.
Most people cannot live life where they don't look at the price tag. They go shopping, buy clothes. They don't have to look at the price tag.
Mm.
Is that weird?
It's not weird. I think it's weird when I'm around people that I used to be around before now. And we all used to be in the same boat of like, oh my gosh, looking at the menu, trying to think like, oh, or even planning before we went out for a meal, like, oh, what shall we get, you know?
Yeah.
And now when I'm around people, sometimes it's like, oh, because I don't even think. It's like, oh, if I want something, I'm just going to have it on a menu or whatever throughout. So what was your question again?
Is it strange?
Now I'm used to it, but I do realize and always think like, oh my gosh, you know.
Could you go?
I'm grateful that I'm in this position.
What would happen? Could you go back, or could if we didn't have money, if we lost everything? Which I don't think I think that the way that I am and you are, like, you could take all my money and I'd get it back,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, but at the same time, if everything did go. If for whatever reason there was a massive, massive recession and we lost our properties and we lost, like, how would you feel about going back to 5, 6, 7 years ago?
I mean, I just deal with it. I just deal with it and then try and get better and build up.
Because you're not a super materialistic person. Like,
no,
you don't,
I'm not.
You know, you're not.
I like nice things, but, you know.
And you're not a massive spender.
No, I'm not.
You're not. I'm probably a bigger spender than you are, especially on holiday.
Yeah, you love spending on experiences.
Well, when we go on holiday, I'll literally just sometimes we'll look at the hotels from pricing and book the most expensive one.
Yeah,
but the reason I do that is because I'm thinking I'm probably only going to be in this country once ever.
Mm.
And I want to experience the best of this country and I want to have the best time. And me having a week off is very rare.
Yeah.
And I want to absolutely maximise my relaxation, my experience.
Have the best time.
To the nth degree. And I think one of the reasons sometimes people might hate on me being so wealthy or you being so wealthy is because they think that it's come, oh, you're just doing it because you're selling people on how to get rich. And it's like, no, we don't even take a salary from the training company.
No.
We have a very successful property company and we've worked bloody hard to build that.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of money. And I'm very proud and I'm very happy.
Yeah.
And we're very generous.
Yeah.
Very generous with family. We have a charity.
Yeah.
generous with the knowledge, generous with the money. So I'm just like, so, true. So when people hate, whatever.
Yeah, and pay them no mind. I just losers.
Yeah. But I need to stop asking these questions because then you'll start getting hate.
I know, they'll be like,
because
oh
you don't
my
get
gosh.
Any hate on your videos. On
I
your
don't
stuff.
Get any hate, and I don't want it. So, if
but
you're
you would
like,
be fine with it.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it because just ignore it, and move on.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's never real life. Like I don't know one person apart from Tenants.
Yeah,
that hate on you.
No,
Tenants sometimes.
Yeah,
but Tenants can be crazy people as well.
Yeah.
But we look after our tenants though.
Yeah,
our tenants are
We've
so happy.
Some, yeah.
We get Christmas cards and gifts. You're the best landlord ever. Yeah. I remember when the show, the BBC show, came out the week the landlords moved in. We had a lot of tenants like from blocks, which is the messages just to say.
Yeah.
Even though the show painted you a little bit badly, which it kind of did.
Yeah.
The BBC, whatever. But they'll say you're the best landlords.
Yeah.
You know.
And our experience is great, is what they say, and they love us.
Biggest tip to property investors?
Biggest tip? Oh, it sounds so cliche, but just read, educate yourself, you know, socialize with like-minded people.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, well, negative people, will be like, oh my gosh, you can't do that, that's not true. But I think when you're around people, in the environment with people, that, you know, are of a can-do attitude. You can do a lot and go a lot further.
But that's what we do. We only hang around with people that and I'm not even talking rich in finances.
Mm.
Sometimes we don't. Like, we hang around with Gary Spicer, our pastor. Mm. We love him coming over.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's poor. He's not poor. But it's being rich is not necessarily just about bank balance.
No.
It's like Marvin, my personal trainer.
Mm.
You know, he might not be really wealthy financially.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Mm. Your money does not define you. It's about people that are rich in mindset, that are positive,
that's
that have
right.
a can-do attitude.
Yeah.
So I'm not a snob in terms of I don't want to be friends with people if they're poor, but I am very careful because I know the bad company produces bad character.
Yeah.
And I know that your circle of friends and your circle of influence has a massive impact on you. So I only want to be around people that are successful, that are happy, that are positive, that are can-do.
Mm.
I don't want to be around people that are looking forward to me failing.
Yeah.
I want to be around people that are celebrating me succeeding.
Yeah.
So we've got the best friends.
I know, yeah. We've got really good friends. And even like at the events, when I was at the DfE, I was like, oh my gosh, I almost didn't want it to end, you know, when you're in that just community with everyone and it's just like good vibes, good energy, like it's just amazing. And I think surrounding yourself with people like that and being in that environment with those people, it's so important, I think.
Mm.
So yeah, that'd be my biggest tip. Get in a community with people that are like-minded.
Yeah, I love that. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show. If you're listening to this on Apple, then please do subscribe and leave a review. If you're listening on YouTube, smash the like button, subscribe, and let us know in the comments what guests you want. If you want to see Amanda come on the show again, I'd like to see Amanda on the show again, then let us know. And thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you guys next time.